His position, he was a servant. His authority, he was sent by God. His power, he was separated. His message, good news. And good news that has come from God himself.
How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the Bible says. With that verse in mind, how often do you think about bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to others? Perhaps you're already involved in teaching Sunday school or leading a Bible study group or telling friends and family about Christ whenever you have a chance. Or maybe you'd like to start giving the gospel, but you're not sure whom to give it to or what to say. John MacArthur will help you think biblically about all of this today on Grace to You as he continues his compelling study from Romans chapter 1, titled, And Now for the Good News. Here's today's lesson.
Now, we're going to see these seven verses, and we're going to watch the unfolding of the good news. And there are basically seven aspects to it. Let's begin with the first one, the preacher of the good news. The preacher of the good news. Now, God called a unique man to be the major spokesman for the good news. Verse 1, Paul. You remember him? Paul. He was that man, the preacher of the good news. Uniquely was committed to him the mysteries, that which was hidden from the past generations and peoples and now revealed, as he says in Ephesians 3 and Colossians chapter 1. He was God's keynote speaker for the heralding of the good news. That remarkable Jew with Greek education and Roman citizenship, that man with incredible abilities as a leader, a fighter, highly motivated, determined, articulate, brilliant, specially called and converted by God himself, that man who completed three missionary journeys proclaiming the good news from Jerusalem to Macedonia and crisscrossing that territory. Paul, that very unique servant who could do miracles and yet could not rid himself of his own thorn in the flesh. Paul, who could break prisons to bits as he did in Philippi and yet himself was a prisoner. Paul is the preacher. And may I remind you that every preacher who's ever preached since has depended on Paul's sermons for his material. 13 books of the New Testament, the legacy of this man through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, he tells us three things about himself in verse 1. First, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the preacher of the gospel says, not only am I a servant of Jesus Christ, but called an apostle. The best rendering of the Greek is a called apostle. A called apostle. The idea is that he was an apostle not because he decided on his own, but because God decided and effectually called him. There is no human appointment here. By the way, the term apostle was first used by the Lord in Luke 6:13. He called his disciples apostles. Now, Paul was called an apostle by God. Quickly look with me just a moment at Acts chapter 9. Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. The Lord stopped him in his tracks, slammed him in the ground, blinded him. And then there came a man by the name of Ananias who cared for him. And verse 15 of Acts 9, the Lord said through Ananias to Paul, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. He is a what? Chosen vessel. It wasn't his choice. It was God's choice. 22nd chapter of Acts, Paul looks back and he remembers what Ananias told him. Ananias came to him just as the Spirit had instructed him in chapter 9. He said to him, verse 13, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, that being Christ. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Look at chapter 26, verse 16. The Lord says, rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Paul is recalling his testimony. I have appeared for the purpose of making thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. And he appeared to him two more times. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I obeyed. He was called an apostle. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He says, don't give me a reward. Don't give me an honor. Don't name a school after me or put a plaque on the wall or build a statue. Pray for me. God has given me a task to do I didn't ask for, and if I mess up, I'm in a lot of trouble. In Galatians 1, he said, I am a servant called an apostle. And he said, God has placed me into this ministry. He says in verse 10 of Galatians 1, do I seek the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And he says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, my call was from Christ himself. I think that's a very important word, that if you're going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, you better know that he called you. I wouldn't take one step forward if I wasn't sure that God had placed me in the ministry. It's far beyond me now. The term apostolos, which is translated back in Romans 1 as apostle, means a sent one, a commissioned one, a dispatched one, a messenger, an ambassador, or an envoy. And by the way, in those days, they called certain boats apostolic boats. And apostolic boats were not boats that carried apostles. It had a secular use. An apostolic boat was a cargo ship that was dispatched with a cargo for another city. And so it meant anything dispatched or sent. And Paul is saying, I am sent, but my being sent is not a self-made decision. You know that the term apostle appears 78 times in the New Testament, and far and away the majority of those times refer to the 12 and Paul, who were specially sent. Specially sent. This week I read the story of a dear old black preacher. He preached out in a little country church. He preached his heart out, and he was a humble and godly man. And a young man came to preach one Sunday night who was cocky, self-assured, thought he was more than those folks really deserved. And he preached, and it was apparent, his attitude. And when he was done, the dear old black preacher went up to him and said this, young man, was you sent or did you just went? I think maybe there's a lot of people who wasn't sent, they just went. But Paul was sent, and he knew it because God had affirmed it to him. I've been reading the last 2 weeks a book entitled The Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter, written in 1650. In the first 100 pages, he calls the clergy to task in Britain in 1650 and says to them, before you keep preaching, you better go back and find out if you're redeemed. And he goes for 100 pages of that. You better be sure God has sent you. There is also an official sense in which we have to understand the word apostle. An apostle was a very official office. It had a broad sense, and everybody who bears the message of Christ is sent. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're all sent. We all are apostles with a small a. And the New Testament lists various people who are apostles who are outside the 12 and Paul. But they're the ones with a capital A, an official office. And if you were to study the New Testament, you'd find that they had to be directly called by Jesus Christ, that is, directly and verbally and personally by him. They had to have been eyewitnesses of Christ and his resurrection, and Paul was because he saw him on the Damascus Road. They were endowed with a special ability from the Holy Spirit in which they could write correctly the New Testament, because Jesus made the promise to them that the Spirit would come and live in them and lead them into all what? Truth, and bring to remembrance everything he'd said. They also were given the ability to do signs and wonders and mighty deeds and miracles, which are called by the Apostle Paul the signs of an apostle. And their office was not restricted to a local church, nor to any short period of time. But they became the foundation on which all the history of the church is built. So these unique 12 plus 1, Matthias replacing Judas, were the foundation. They had to be called by Jesus himself. They had to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. They received the Holy Spirit by which they could write the revelation, and they could do signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And their office extended far beyond any local congregation. And Paul was one of those very special, special people. And he knew that God had called him. You know, in Jeremiah 23, it says there were some prophets who went, but they never were sent. And the people should never listen to them. Oh, beloved, I tell you, there are so many prophets like that today who are out there talking, but should not be listened to. They are damned prophets, false prophets. And then there are those who never were sent, they just went. They have not the anointing of God on them. And we are not to listen to them. They have corrupted the church through all the centuries of its existence and continue to do so even now. And so says Paul, I am a servant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle. And by the way, he calls himself that at the beginning of several other letters as well. Then thirdly, and we'll stop with this point, separated unto the gospel of God. You want to know something basic? You can't serve God unless you're separated. Can't be done. It's a rich, rich idea. The word separated is the idea of setting apart. You can go back into the understanding of the Old Testament, into the 13th chapter, for example, of Exodus, and you'll see that God wanted set apart unto him the firstborn of man, the firstborn of the beasts. You can go to Numbers 15, and you'll see that God wanted the first fruits of the crop. You can go to Numbers 8 and see that God set apart the best of men, consecrated the Levites to his service. You can go to Leviticus 20 and see that God took the whole nation of Israel, and according to Leviticus 20, 26, he separated them from the other nations and said, this people is holy unto the Lord. Every one of those scriptures I just gave you, the separating of the man and the beast, the separating of the first fruit, the separating of the Levites, and the separating of Israel. In the Septuagint version, the Greek version, uses the word aphorizein. And that is exactly the word used here. It means separation in the fullest sense. Those animals and those firstborn sons were utterly separated to the Lord. The first fruits the same, the Levites the same, the nation the same. There was to be no intermingling. And Paul knew that once he was called an apostle, he was disconnected from the past. By the way, Pharisee meant a separated one. And all his life to this point, his adult life, Paul had been a Pharisee, separated unto the tradition of the Jews. Now he says, I am, if you will, a Pharisee separated unto the gospel of God. Good news. No more of man's bad news. In Galatians 1:15, he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul was separated from his mother's womb. on the road to Damascus. He was separated under the gospel of God. And then he became a pastor of the church at Antioch. And in Acts 13:2, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said unto them, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, and send them to the work I have for them." He was a separated man. The secret of his service is that he was a bondslave. He utterly surrendered to the Lord. He was an apostle sent to carry the message. And beloved, he cut the cord. I tell you, there are more people in gospel ministry who see little fruit and no power, even though they may understand that they're to be servants and they may have been called, but somewhere along the line they are unwilling to be separated. Would you look with me at one scripture? The last one we'll look at for this time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Do you remember the situation in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Timothy was a servant of the Lord, servant of Christ. Timothy was an apostle, small a, not one of the 12 plus Paul, but nonetheless a messenger sent. But Timothy had come to the point in his life where everything was coming apart. He lost it. You know what was happening to him? Well, just looking in this letter alone, you can find a lot of things. Verse 6, chapter 1. "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." What do you mean, stir up the gift of God? What was the gift of God? Well, the gift of God was the particular ability that he had for ministry, the preaching and the teaching. And that was a gift of God given to him, and it was confirmed to him by those who were knowledgeable and affirmed it by the laying on of hands. In other words, he was getting lazy in the ministry. He just wasn't functioning. And then he says, not only are you not functioning, verse 7, but God has not given us the spirit of timidity. He had become timid instead of bold. Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Now get this, this is Timothy, personally discipled by Paul, gifted enough to have followed Paul as the pastor of the Ephesian church. This is Timothy, of whom Paul said to the Corinthians, "I will send him to you to straighten you out, because he'll bring you into remembrance of all my ways." This was reproduction. This was number one son. And he is not functioning, and he is timid, and he is ashamed of the gospel and even of his association with Paul. Chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to show yourself unto God a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Apparently, he wasn't even really doing his job with the word of God. But verse 16 says he was involved in profane and vain babblings, hassling with philosophers. Verse 22 indicates that he probably was getting embroiled in some youthful lusts. Verse 23, that he was striving in foolish and unlearned questions. He lacked gentleness. In other words, the whole thing was coming apart. He had been sucked into the system. And the word comes to him in chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says this, "Timothy, have you forgotten that you're a soldier?" Verse 3. "Have you forgotten that you're supposed to endure suffering as a good soldier? And do you remember this? No man that fights the battle can entangle himself with the affairs of this life." You hear that? What he's saying? Timothy, you cannot be caught in the lusts of this world. Timothy, you cannot be caught in the philosophy of this world. You cannot be caught in being ashamed of the gospel by the intimidation of this world. You cannot be caught into the easy come, easy go society. You must be diligent to stir up the gift of God. Timothy, have you forgotten that you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this life? When you go into the ministry of Jesus Christ, you cut the cord. You sever. That's the kind of man Paul was. Servant of Christ, but not just that. Called an apostle, but not just that. Separated. And he never got himself entangled with the affairs of this life. I've known men go out of the ministry because they love money or possessions. They couldn't cut the cord. They fell into moral sin. The world lured them. Or they were more concerned about their reputation. So when they got an opportunity to speak, they made sure they never offended anybody. And in so doing, they offended God, for they were not separated. What an example he is to us. His position, he was a servant. His authority, he was sent by God. His power, he was separated. His message, good news. And good news that has come from God himself. Now you know the preacher. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to my heart, for refreshing again in my own soul what it is that I am to be. Because I know that this man is the example, for he said, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." May I too be a faithful servant, understanding both the dignity and the humility of such service rendered. May I have that affirmation of being called, though not an apostle as the 12 and Paul, yet as one sent, building upon their foundation. And may I, Father, too, be separated. May I be disentangled from the affairs of this life. May I not be lured by the weakness of the flesh to forego the diligence of study to rightly divide the word. May I not be lured by the world to be timid. May I not be lured by the world to be ashamed of the Lord or of those who represent him, though they be prisoners. May I not slip to make my ministry a philosophical debate. May I not be lured by the lusts of unrighteousness. May I not find myself argumentative, breeding strife, lacking gentleness. In sum, as the Spirit of God said it to Timothy, may I be a good soldier who knows that he cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. And I would pray that for all this, your people. All of us fight the warfare. All of us are your servants. All of us have been called and sent to this world to be witnesses. And all of us must be separated. Teach us what that means in application in our own lives, that we may carry the good news to a world literally dying from all the bad news. And may there be many who hear that good news because we too have been faithful. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
This is Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for being with us. John's current study is from Romans 1, and it's titled, "And Now for the Good News." Along with teaching each day on the radio, John also serves as chancellor of the Masters University and Seminary. Well, John, we started this study from the book of Romans, and we haven't got past the first word yet, where Paul introduces himself, Paul, and he's who you've been talking about. Talk a bit about the importance of Paul. I know you've said frequently he is your favorite character and kind of a role model in the whole New Testament.
Paul is my favorite character, biblical character, apart from the Lord Jesus himself. And I think he has a dominant influence on my life because he is so much the featured person in the New Testament, starting with the book of Acts all the way through the epistles. You're following Paul half the book of Acts, and then you've got 13 epistles that he wrote, so there's so much of him there. And all of it is so powerfully instructive. And you might think that because he's an apostle and a scripture writer and because he had a unique conversion on the Damascus Road and Jesus appeared to him that time and other times as well, that he's set apart from all of us in some special way. But the fact of the matter is, Paul had a calling to preach the gospel. In fact, right at his conversion, he was told that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. It is that very reality that we share in common with him. That our responsibility as believers is to preach the good news. Paul was a preacher of the good news. And when I started the book of Romans all those many years ago, I couldn't get past Paul, because setting up our understanding of Paul then literally becomes a model for all of us to follow. And I think we have the same responsibility. We may not have the same authority as an apostle. Obviously, we don't. You as a believer may not feel that you're as significant, say, as a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary, but all of us have the same calling, all of us, and that calling is to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And we're here as a ministry. Grace to You is here to provide the resources that can make you effective in doing that, and one of those resources is a relatively new book called Good News, Good News. It deals with how you can effectively preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, speak the gospel to the people that you meet. The book covers the identity of Jesus, the only way to heaven, Christ's role as head of the church, many more things, 150 pages, a hardback. It's a very helpful dose and a kind of mega dose at that, of the information, the truth that you need to be effective in sharing the gospel. So get a copy of Good News from Grace to You, and you can order it today.
Yes, this book shows you what the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even Jesus himself said about his person and his work. It's a great resource to give to someone you've been witnessing to. To order John's book called Good News, get in touch today. Call our toll-free number, 800-55-GRACE, or go to our website, gty.org. Again, to find out exactly who Jesus is and what he accomplished for sinners, ask for John's book, Good News, The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Our number again, 800-55-GRACE, and our website, gty.org. And when you're at gty.org, I would encourage you to read articles from John and the staff on the Grace to You blog. Our recent series on contentment is especially relevant these days between social unrest and the COVID-19 pandemic, and you'll also find biblical insight on frequently abused verses of Scripture, parenting, social justice, sanctification, many more topics. The blog is one of the numerous free Bible study resources that are available at gty.org. And if you don't already follow us on social media, find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search for Grace to You. Now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Phil Johnson. Thanks for tuning in today, and be here tomorrow when John continues his series titled, And Now for the Good News. Don't miss the next 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.